give it the best that we have. And let's, Benjamin, would you lead us in a word of prayer as we start?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've given us, allowing us to come together this morning and study a portion of your word. Pray that you would be with Justin and help him to have a ready recollection of the things that he has prepared for us. We pray that you would be with our sick. And we pray that you would be with all of us and help us to be followers of Christ the way that you have us to be. Please forgive us for our sins and be with us the rest of this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So it's always a daunting task to teach. Especially being a younger guy, but anytime you teach is a difficult thing, but especially this subject. We're going to talk about spiritual partnership this morning, and so many of you here have been married much longer than I have, and so I look to your wisdom and your experience and your health as we unpack this class. There are a lot of passages throughout Scripture that talk about the benefit of two people coming together and doing something. Can you think of any that come to your mind?
Apostleship. Apostles were sent in twos.
Okay, yeah, apostles were sent in twos. That's a good one to think about. Jesus sent them out two at a time. So that gave them strength and encouragement with whatever they faced. What other passages come to mind? Moses and Aaron, yeah, that's true. That's a good example. He had Aaron there to help him be the mouthpiece for him. Any others that come to mind?
Two are better than one.
Yeah, two are better than one. Yeah, that's the passage I was thinking about as well. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, but I'll write stuff on the board. Ecclesiastes 4. Through 12. And let's read this passage together and just talk about it a little bit, because I think this is a foundation text to what we're going to get into the rest of class. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. It says this: that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two can lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. There are about four things there that I think speak to this idea of what we're talking about this morning, the benefits of two people working together side by side. And I want to give a caveat before we get into this. That even if you aren't married, there's still that element there that you have one another as Christians that you can surround yourself with. You've got God on your side as well. But as we think about spiritual partnership, there's four things in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 that emphasize the benefit of two people working together. First of all, notice the first thing in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. I mean, that's just a truth that spans time, right? If you're going to do some kind of project, how much easier is it to do it with somebody else rather than tackling it yourself? I think about the imagery that the writer of Ecclesiastes, I think about two people in a field trying to harvest a field. You've got that other person who helps you along that journey. And how much more true is that spiritually speaking? That when you have two people together doing the Lord's work, that you get more accomplished. And not only that, have you ever felt like it was kind of a daunting thing to try to do something alone in the Lord's work? Maybe it's going to visit somebody. Maybe it's something else. But it can be very daunting to try to do it by yourself. But now that you have that other person, it makes it so much easier that you go with them together. There's a second point, though, here. In verse 10, for if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. I don't know why I thought about this whenever I was thinking about this passage, but the only thing that came to my mind was those Life Alert commercials. Have you ever seen them? Maybe that's not the best illustration, but you got kind of this Life Alert commercial where somebody falls, and remember the, you know the slogan of that company? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Now, that's not a knock against Life Alert or anything, but I think there's something very important when it comes to helping each other spiritually as mates, as spouses. You help each other up when one of you has fallen spiritually. God created us with that mentality. God created us with that bond for community and mutual sharing, not just in the good times, but in the difficult times as well, that we help each other up, that we have one another we can lean on throughout the challenges and difficulties of life. As you think about both of those points, what are your thoughts or comments on that? There's some other things here, but what do you think about that so far?
I think it's an amazing concept that God put together.
Absolutely.
No matter what decisions, no matter what comes up in a life, each of you balance each other out. Maybe one of you are a little more sensitive or crazy about one area, and the other one goes, hey, what do you think about this? Or vice versa. And I think, you know, that's a constant thing where each one helps the other one out. And a good team does that.
Yeah.
If you think of any team, every team, if one person has a strength, another one has a weakness in one area, and vice versa.
Sure.
All the way through.
Yeah, that's a very good point. God in his infinite wisdom knew what he was doing when he established the unity of marriage. Any other thoughts or comments on this stuff so far about these two points? Okay, let's think about a third point then here from this text. Verse 11. Furthermore, if two can lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? So you have this warmth involved. And maybe the writer of Ecclesiastes is picturing some kind of scene where two people are outside sleeping. I don't know. But you've got this warmth there involved. That principle is also true spiritually. Spiritual intimacy that exists. When two people are growing closer to each other and closer to God, they're maturing in the faith as they serve God as a team, as Gerald mentioned as well. And then finally, you've got this other point in verse 12, that if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Again, when I thought about this, I thought, so many movies out today where you got these kind of situations where you've got two people who are taking on like hundreds and hundreds of people and somehow they overpower him. But think about it spiritually. When two people are there together, our adversary is described by Peter as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But as a couple, as a marriage, you have the ability to defend one another from Satan's attacks. Helping each other fight off the adversary with whatever things he tries to get into your relationship, whatever that may be. Looking out for each other's spiritual welfare. Two, resist him. But I want you to notice how this passage ends in verse 12. We read it already. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. If I understand it right, a cord of three strands is one of the strongest cords that existed in this ancient time. And when a husband, wife, and God are joined together, they are not going to be quickly torn apart. But the inverse is also true. That whenever God is taken out of the picture, all of that changes with no foundation. And so those are some of the things I kind of thought about in this passage. Any thoughts or comments about all those things together? Insights that you have, perhaps?
I don't know. I mean, it's not specifically about marriage. Obviously,
sure.
If you take the context, it's kind of feels more just about like friendship. Mm-hmm. Or,
I agree.
Cooperating with somebody else, kind of thing. But there's a verse that came to mind, is that iron sharpens iron.
Sure.
Kind of thing. So it's just more profitable to have help.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's very true. Very true. Good point.
You know, I couldn't think of anybody, and I'm not trying to get sentimental here for a minute, but if my wife was against me and turned on me and was my enemy, I couldn't think of anything worse. because she's my true confidant. If anybody support, if I know there's anybody in this world that I know I can depend on, that I know has got my best interest, that I know is always going to be there, and if she or God, talking about the three, weren't there, I would think about committing suicide. I have to admit. I mean, it'd be like, well, what's the point? If my own wife, I can't trust her, and she can't be there for me, who can you trust on this earth?
Yeah. Yep.
Who can,
that's true.
Who can you?
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Good observation.
Can you think about any other advantages, just thinking about this point, of benefits that come together when husbands and wives are working together in the Lord? Dave?
I know in my and Casey's relationship, she's helped me grow so much.
Sure.
As a leader, stepping out of my comfort zone, things like that. I mean, I've helped her grow in things too, So
yeah.
I mean, just leaning on each other to progress in life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. The mutual growth, mutual spiritual growth. And I think doing that, as spending time in that way, develops oneness and so forth, as we already talked about in this class so far. That's a good point. What other benefits, advantages are there?
Makes the church stronger. It's an example to your children.
Sure. Yeah.
Next generation.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think another thing that came to my mind is that you learn about one another. You learn things about them that you never knew. How they operate, their strengths, their weaknesses, the things that they do well and the best ways that they serve. Using individual talents to serve the Lord together as one. Right?
It's kind of a natural tendency too, since the beginning, Genesis 2:18, God said, I will create for man a help me.
Mm-hmm.
And, we tend to lean more towards, we're social beings and, God created woman and for us to be able to partner together, and to rely on each other. And there's a sensibility there to physically, want to have that person there.
Yeah.
And it was, set in stone from the beginning to be that way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And because of the oneness, and hitting on what Dave was talking about here too, that person, husband or wife, is truly the only one that you can really take true criticism from and know that it's for your best interest. And know there's no prejudice with it. And know that they want you to grow because you're one. Because you growing, they're growing, we're all growing together. And I think that's a good safe place. We talk about safe places in our society. I think that's a good safe place. Is he was talking about iron sharpens iron. That marriage relationship is where the growth can happen between the two, being open and honest with each other and working together.
Yeah, yeah, very good point.
The section just above talks about a man being alone and all of his labor and his toil is for nothing if he doesn't have someone to share it with, which kind of goes to what Gerald said earlier.
Yeah.
If you don't have a partner in life, what's
yeah. Yeah, that's a great observation. That's a great observation. Definitely. Good thoughts. This is all helping me, that's for sure. Anything else that you have on this section before we go on? Well, let me ask you this question then. When you think about working together for the Lord, do couples have to have the same abilities? And if not, why not? And if is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Just your observations there.
They don't have to have the same abilities, but I think they have to have a common goal.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think that there is something good where you come together. Maybe you don't have the same abilities, but you do have that common goal, and you are using those different abilities to serve together. That's a great point. Yes?
Well, the point of having a team is that there are differing abilities. You have, I don't want to make sports references, but because I don't know anything about sports. But, the team, you have the quarterback. They all have different jobs to perform. One player can't do them all.
And yes.
The family, one player can't do it all. You have to help each other to perform your varying roles and
Yeah, that is a good analogy. That's so true. No person can do everything. And I think that's God's wisdom in not only creating marriage, but also in creating the church. Because I think I mentioned this in a sermon a while back, that just because you get up to preach and teach doesn't mean that encompasses the Lord's work. There's so much more to it than just that. In fact, go back to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I just want to look at something to illustrate this point. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11 with me. It says, and he gave, this is the Lord, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so think about that in terms of the church, where God has given us these different roles for the equipping and building up of the body of Christ. You come to this maturity. And as I thought about that, it occurred to me that's the same truth when it comes to marriage. That as you're working together, you're using those individual abilities and talents, it builds up in the body of Christ. It brings us to maturity, spiritually speaking, and so forth. So those are some of the things I thought about. What other comments or thoughts do you have on this? Yes, Jeff.
I'm glad you made that point, because as a single guy, I was really getting depressed there for the last few minutes. But yes, the church is very important, and if you don't have a partner, then the fellow Christians are very valuable.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to mention as well, that just because you're not married doesn't mean that's the end of all of that. You do have one another as Christians that build you up and so forth. So I'm glad you did point that out.
Christ was a single guy too, you know.
That's right. Paul, who was speaking of these different things, understood that as well. So, yeah, that's a great point. I want to do kind of a case study as we think about some of these things. Let me ask you this first of all. If there's any couples in the Bible that really stand out to you who excelled in this kind of area, who would come to your mind? Maybe certainly we're not perfect, but they had something going on.
Aquila and Priscilla.
Okay, Aquila and Priscilla. That's the one I want to kind of think about. But are there others that come to your mind that we don't often talk about?
Mary and Joseph.
Mary and Joseph? Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Abraham and Sarah.
I think there's something to that. Now, they had their own challenges and difficulties, but in the end, they came out stronger from where they began. And that's really the whole goal. I think in a lot of ways.
I love the Boaz and Ruth story. I think that's a great movie.
Yeah, that is an interesting story. Very interesting story. Let's look at Aquila and Priscilla for the rest of our time together. There's a lot of things here that I think are very helpful. That I feel like I've learned a lot. Acts chapter 18 is where we're going to be. Paul met both Priscilla and Aquila on his second preaching tour, second missionary journey, as he comes to Corinth. And we don't know a whole lot about them, but what we do know is that they served the Lord together. Again, they're this couple that comes to our mind when we think about spiritual partnership. And even though we don't know a whole lot about them, I think there are things we can learn from them. First of all, we read about them in Acts 18, verse 1 and 2. It says, after these things, he left Athens, this is Paul, and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because of Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working by trade, they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And so Paul meets this couple who have this same trade, that they were expelled from Italy because of Claudius, who was an emperor, and so they're here at Corinth. So there's a couple things that stand out to me about them. First of all, in just verse 4 that we just read, in verse 11, we're told that Paul comes to Corinth and settles here a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Here's my point of that. This may be a stretch, but it seems that Aquila and Priscilla would have been present with Paul as he taught. And so first of all, they were devoted to learning and growing in the Lord. They were interested in God's word, and they knew it well, so well, that they're going to teach this man named Apollos later on. And so my point in all of this is, if we're going to grow in this area of spiritual partnership, that's got to be the foundation for it all, a spiritual growth. Spending time listening to the word of God together in sermons and Bible classes, spending time studying the word of God together, communicating about the word of God, I think that's the whole foundation for everything else. Any ideas further with that?
It's hard to get out of whack when you talk about the Bible all the time.
That's true. That's true. Definitely.
It's kind of like you don't leave any room for the bad stuff.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. There's a second thing, though, that stands out to me about them, and that is that they serve the Lord together in various ways. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. It says that Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. Then drop down to verse 24. So both Aquila and Priscilla accompany Paul on his journey to Syria, and he leaves them at Ephesus. And notice verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews and publicly demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. That's fascinating to me in a lot of ways. Very encouraging to me as well. Hear that Paul leaves Priscilla and Aquila at Ephesus, and what they do is serve God together. You've got this man named Apollos, who is mighty in the scriptures. He knows the way of God. But Priscilla and Aquila come along and teach him more accurately, and notice what he does because of that. And he goes to Achaia, and he strengthens the Christians there. And so it's kind of this whole full circle thing going on. And so they were both involved and approached teaching Apollos as a team, diligently serving the Lord, which then leads me to another question. What are some practical ways that as husbands and wives, as couples, as individuals with the help of a congregation, that we can better serve the Lord? What are some practical things we can do that come to your mind?
Well, first, you need to be passionate about the work. I mean, I think it's just a lot of wisdom and focusing on the fact that we need to be hungry for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the first, maybe the foundation, definitely. That's what we see with their foundation as well.
That's good. I actually said work, but word is...
Oh, about the work. Okay. Let's just work.
There you go.
Yeah, it's got to be something that you're interested in, both together. Different ideas that maybe interest you more than others, so definitely.
I like the story of Will and Priscilla, how they, you know, the other's just saying, you know, make sure you take care of the demons in your own eye before you worry about the speck that's in your brother's eye. And they definitely did that. And then, you know, they took, you know, Apollos to the side in secret and, you know, didn't make a big deal about it and strengthened him in quiet, you know, and to the side. So,
yeah.
They make sure that their own self is set right before they try to correct somebody else.
That's true. And that's very important.
And we can infer also that how they handled Apollos, you know, was a good, compassionate way, because we don't hear that he had an issue with it.
Right.
It made him stronger, and he went out was more convicted. And
yeah.
You know.
Very, very good. Very good. Yeah, they handled it in the right way. Definitely. Stephanie?
I would say allowing time to be with other Christians and time for Bible study. That needs to be something jointly in your schedules that you've got to make a priority. The way you spend your time tells a lot about what's important to you.
Very good point. Yeah, very good. Allowing time for growth, making it a priority. The work as well. So, yeah, very good point. What else comes to your mind? Things that maybe have helped you as a team, personal. Keith?
I think having a partner makes you spiritually accountable more than you would be individually.
Yeah.
There's a different personality there. They're going to see weaknesses. I mean, that's not always good. Sometimes it is for them to point out that in you that you may not see in yourself.
Right, yeah.
Plus it helps you sort of share a workload, a spiritual workload, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like when the church started, elders, not an elder, but elders were appointed in every congregation. Different personalities, two to share the workload, two or more maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Because of the intimacy between marriage, you know one another's weaknesses, and you can help them through that. So that's a great, great observation. Great point.
When you said things that practically have helped you, you know, as couples, I mean, if I could compliment April for a minute, there's things that she thinks about in terms of being hospitable. And granted, she wishes she had more time for it, but sometimes it's tough with four kids. But, you know, that mindset and making, like, kind of like what Stephen was saying, making the time to do that is critical. But, you know, she thinks about it a lot more than I do, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I would agree the same way for me, too. But yeah, hospitality and opening up your homes for get-togethers or Bible studies, different things like that is always a way to serve together.
Which, there must have been an environment for Apollos, right? Because they did bring him into their home.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, an interesting little side point.
Yeah, yeah, they... Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
In AA, there's you know, in NA, there's this saying that when you're picking out a sponsor, you go find somebody who has what you want. Okay, so setting the right example and letting that be seen. So, you know, when you're in somebody's home, you can really tell a lot about it, right?
Sure.
I mean, if there's a little, you know, snide remark here or there, there's coldness, I mean, it's obvious, right? So.
Yeah.
I think that environment plays a huge role.
Good point. Good point. So hospitality, being hospitable, is a way to serve together. I kind of thought of some of just. Sorry, Stephanie, did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Just the little things. I don't know if I've mentioned this passage before, but in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah says, don't despise the day of small things. For me, that's been one of the big things that I try to work on, is just the little things that may not seem like much, but end up adding a big difference. whether that's phone calls to somebody who's shut in and can't get out to services, visiting people, sending cards, different things like that are things that are, I think, little but end up playing a big role as well. Anything else come to mind when you think about these practical ways to serve?
I mean, we talked about attitude a lot last time. I mean, just being nice and friendly makes a huge difference.
Sure.
It goes that simple, but it really does, you know, it can be that simple.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Good point.
There's a book called The Slight Edge that I read last year, and it talks about doing the small things daily, you know, no matter how small they are, being consecutive in the things that you do. And it talked about the story about the two frogs there and a jar of butter, and one, they're swimming, and one gives up and drowns. The other one continues to go until it finally turns into butter and it jumps out. You know, it gives that analogy of never giving up. And,
yeah.
You know, as a Christian, we have to be consistent, you know, because days aren't always going to be easy, and there's going to be hard days, but if you continue to do good, outweigh the bad.
Good point.
Here's the amazing thing that we forget in our lives, and we talk about going out and teaching folks and converting people and husbands and wives and that, and those are all great things, we should do that. But the children that are in our homes for 18 years see how you interact. They see the most intimate moments of a husband and wife relationship. You want to set a good Christian tone for that, then it's important to have a good marriage. Because the example you set for 18 years, or 21, or if they're millennials, 35, in your home, will go with them for the rest of their life, and potentially the rest of their children's life, and potentially, I mean, that to me, that's where it's at. So the thing that husband and wife can do is work on having a great marriage, setting a great example so their children know what they need to do
when
they're married.
Yeah. Good thoughts. Very important. Very helpful. I think the other thing that I notice about Aquila and Priscilla is just in the way that they dealt with Apollos is that they saw each other as partners in the work. Neither one is more important than the other. They were both together. They saw each other as partners. And perhaps for me, that's one of the more important takeaways. They understood that they were both vital to the success of teaching Apollos. Not one played a more important role than the other. They were both needed. And I think that's same thing is true when it comes to doing the Lord's work, that we're both needed and so forth in that way. So those are some of the thoughts I had about Apollos, or Aquila and Priscilla. I think one thing is for certain, as you kind of think about all these things, is that God has work for us to do. And the most important thing is Him being in that picture, who will encourage us and strengthen us through whatever things that you go through. So so much good can come from that. So those are some thoughts I have, right?
Well, this also it shows that they were business partners as well. And, as always, the hardest people to work for is family. And, being especially a married couple working together, and at the end of the day, saying, okay, we're days over, now let's start, husband, wife, time now. And it's hard for that heart cut off, but for them to be able to work in harmony together shows a good, character that they had together as a husband and wife, willing to work together, and then also willing to, help others too.
Sure.
It says a lot about their, the character.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, there had to be good things going on to have both of those. Any concluding thoughts about all the things we've talked about together? We've got a little bit of time left.
I think sometimes we try to look at ways that we can talk to the world about Scripture without being just in your face about it. And there's so many articles and things I've read for either mental health or for when you're trying to counsel with other families, like in my field, that when someone is so upset, just using the pronoun we when working through a problem versus you. I mean, clinically, people talk about, and counselors, how beneficial that is to the person hearing. So I think a lot of times people are broken, they're upset in the world, and when we're listening as a friend to maybe a non-Christian, when you use that terminology, we, You know, and then you talk about, you know, that's a biblical concept. You can insert Christianity into something they've already seen, you know, in a secular, we know that it's come from scripture, but there's just so much power just in the word we to someone that's hurting or to someone that's upset or overwhelmed with life.
Yeah, that's very true. Very good point. I guess maybe we probably should have started with this, but let's conclude with this thought. What are some of the barriers maybe that prevent us from growing like we should? Maybe we should have concluded with the positive, but what are some thoughts you have, barriers to working together?
Too much pride.
Pride. All right. Explain that a little bit more.
Not being open to criticism, because sometimes it's not going to be positive. You know, things that like what Keith was saying, as a married couple, you know, your spouse will see things in you that you may not see yourself, and you need to be open to taking that criticism and doing something with it.
Yeah.
And that's one big thing that I struggle with.
Yeah.
I don't like hearing things that I do that I'm not good at, you know.
Yeah. That's tough, because it does take a hit at your pride. But it's so important. You know, that's something I struggle with too. But yeah, that's a great one. That's one that keeps anything from moving forward, is pride.
17 years ago on a date, Stephanie and I played putt-putt golf. Did not go well. We haven't played a competitive sport yet. Right? And we're happy to win.
Yeah.
I'm joking in one sense. Being competitive.
Yeah.
Husbands and wives cannot be competitive within their relationship.
That's a good one, too.
It's a team. You both win. It's not one winning over. I mean, we win.
Yeah.
And we won it, putt-putt. Like, now looking back, we're like, we won, you know, but at the time, it wasn't like
that. Yeah, and I think that goes back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 as well, that and just everything we've talked about. That's good. That's a good point. Competitiveness. Anything else?
Distractions.
Talk more about that.
Well, there's an untold number of distractions in the daily life that if we could lose our focus on what it needs to be, on God and each other, and allow our focus to be on something else, then that which is most important is left behind.
Sure. And life is full of distractions. So much. It's easy to get off course. Yeah, that's a challenge too, definitely. There's so much pulling at you, I think, that the world offers you. That can be a distraction. Anything else here about barriers, obstacles, so forth?
Well, if you don't have that common goal that you're working towards, I was kind of thinking back to some of the bad examples of husbands and wives.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Going back to Adam and Eve, they didn't have a common goal of, you know, following the one thing that God told them to do, and they dragged each other down.
Yeah, I mean that is a good point. I think part of that with Adam and Eve, and well, maybe I'm thinking about Abraham and Sarah, but Abraham and Sarah had that same challenge. I mean, God told them both that I'm going to give you a child. And it kind of led to this whole pride situation where they said, I can figure out this my own way. And so he goes and gets Hagar and shortcuts faith, and everything kind of crumbles beneath him. So that's a good point, common goal.
So a funny story behind that, nothing to do with this, but it's funny. Origins, on Netflix, the Origins. Adam and Eve, they put that as the first crime ever in the world, and that was the first judgment of a judgment and being punished. I
haven't seen that. Maybe I'll have to watch that. All right, well, I want to kind of leave with that and just encourage you maybe to go back this week and look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Study that together. Thank you.
why we went, and it just, it came all, things broke out. Check it, Dave. Great job.
That's I that's why
our future almost came.
Sounds like you handled it good, though.
Of course, I would never let her win. So I was mad because I was missing. Yeah. And she thought I was winning. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Which day is the day that we're coming out? We fly up to, or we're driving up to Cincinnati and then flying out to the Fresno. Did she tell you the text I sent as far as where we're traveling? We're going to go through 29 palms.
Probably. Really? Going through Joshua Tree?
We probably will. Yep. Yeah. We're going to camp and hike in Kings Canyon and Sequoia National Park and then drive to